Welcome to Life as a Nephrologist, a podcast series by the National Kidney Foundation. I'm Laura Brereton, director of our Clinical Practice Guideline Development Program, KDOQI. Our goal with this podcast is to take a look at nephrology as a career and to encourage medical students and residents to choose it. We're exploring what day-to-day life is like for nephrologists at different points in their careers and highlighting their varying interests, projects, and stories. Today, we're talking with Dr. Belinda Lee about some of the various career choices available in nephrology. Dr. Lee attended Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York and completed her residency at Columbia University New York Presbyterian Hospital. She then completed fellowship at the Brigham and Women's Hospital and Massachusetts General Hospital of Harvard Medical School, followed by a transplant nephrology fellowship at Brigham and Women's. After fellowship, she worked first as an assistant professor of medicine at Tulane University and is now in private practice in Baltimore. Welcome, Belinda.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. So what we usually start off with asking is how you ended up going into medicine and why you chose nephrology as a specialty.
All right. Well, I think I've always wanted to be a doctor, even from when I was little. I think a part of that is because both my parents are also physicians. And so I grew up knowing about the field of medicine, or at least experiencing it from their perspective at home. So it was something I was always interested in. And then nephrology, you know, I think to be totally honest, I probably just went with my gut at the time. You know, when you're in residency as a second year, you have to decide what fellowship to apply for. And
right.
And at the time, I think I was interested in nephrology and I just kind of took a leap of faith. And in retrospect, I'm glad I did, because I'm quite happy with being a nephrologist. And I think looking back, the things that I was interested in were probably, you know, similar to many other people. I was interested in the diseases and the disorders that nephrologists see. And also, I wanted to emulate the nephrologists that I had met as medical students and as a resident, and have the day-to-day life that I thought that they had, seeing the interesting cases and working with patients. And I think the mentors that I had in medical school and residency had a big part to do with it.
That sounds pretty lucky. So you kind of followed your gut on what you thought you should do and also had some great mentors. That's a pretty common theme we hear. A lot of people who end up choosing nephrology who've had a teacher or a mentor who kind of looked happy and modeled it well. So I think that's something that we think about a lot here. That's great. So we talked a bit about your career path so far in the introduction, which is really interesting and varied. So I'm wondering if you can, from your perspective, just talk a little bit about these various paths, maybe starting with academia.
Sure. Well, you know, I my fellowship was 4 years, and 2 years was ACGME and a part of the clinical training. And actually, the majority of my second year as a fellow and my third and my fourth year was all research-based. And having done that, when I finished fellowship, I was really interested in continuing in academics because I wanted to, one, practice transplant, and two, still be in a place where I could do a lot of research. And then also at the time, I had this, I had an interest in education, in medical education. And I thought the best place to do all that would be in an academic setting. Very oftentimes you have what your goals are, and then life kind of intervenes as well. So for me, I got married at the end of my fellowship, and my husband was doing training in New Orleans. So that's what led me down to New Orleans. Now, I was very lucky that I could join the nephrology division at Tulane, because they gave me an opportunity to pursue all the things I was interested in. I was able to practice clinical medicine. I was able to be a part of the transplant program. I was able to do clinical research and get my feet wet in medical education as well.
Wow, that does sound perfect. I know it's hard to find a place where two people can both have careers can both thrive and find something they want to do. So that does sound really lucky. So then you got there, and what did you find were some of the benefits and challenges of working as an academic nephrologist?
Well, I think being in a place in an academic institution, you're surrounded by people who are involved in cutting edge research and people who are doing work that will shape the way that we understand disease and clinical medicine and people who are doing research. They have the opportunity to affect what becomes our standard of care in medicine. So working in an academic institution, I think that's one of the major benefits, is you get to be in this exciting atmosphere of just cutting edge work that can have real implications on people's lives. And additionally, you know, when you work in that environment, you're also surrounded by people who are master clinicians at the same time. And you have this a true realization of bench to bedside medicine. You get to see that and you get to practice that. So I think that's one of the things that I really liked anyhow.
Yeah, that's great. You're really right there on the cutting edge, as you said, and being able to be both in patient care and research. So what were some of the challenges? Was it hard to balance that, to balance your research time or kind of developing the curriculum time versus actually seeing your patients?
Yeah, I think most people, especially people like myself who are just starting out in academics or just starting off in their career, especially in an academic institution, find it hard to balance everything that you want to accomplish. You know, and a part of that is having a life at home. Because you have to find time to see patients, to do research, and to do research, you have to have grants. You have to apply for funding, and it is a tough balance. I really did find that to be the most challenging. I had wonderful mentors. I had a very supportive department, but you know that's reality when you work in an academic place. You have to see patients. You have to do research. You have to get funding. And then you have to also think about your responsibilities at home. And it all comes crashing together sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. I can imagine that. A really, really packed in there. But thankfully, there are other options. So there is private practice, which I don't actually know much about. So I'm really excited to hear about this. So you eventually left Tulane and moved to Baltimore. And now you work with a private nephrology practice there. Do you want to talk a little bit about what your day-to-day work life is like now?
Sure. I'd be happy to. You know, and I have to say, I was very happy at Tulane, and I could have seen myself staying in academics for the rest of my career. And again, it was, it was events in life led me in a different direction. I had to move to Baltimore again because of, you know, my husband was doing the next part of his training up here. So I knew I had to move to Baltimore, and what I did at that point was, you know, I looked at all the opportunities that were in Baltimore, all the potential jobs I could have in Baltimore, looking at academic institutions and also private practices, and I even looked at industry, and I interviewed for a couple industry jobs as well. So, you know, when that happens, you have to, for me, I feel like you have to just look at everything and choose what's best for you. And that's how I ended up in private practice. When I interviewed at all these different jobs and looked at all the details, I thought that this, you know, not just private practice, but in particular the group that I'm a part of now, I felt was the perfect fit for me. So being in private practice, my day-to-day is a lot different than what it was at an academic place. So, one, I see a lot more patients. And in some ways, that's really great. You know, when you first graduate from fellowship, it's such a steep learning curve. You think that internship is such a steep learning curve, and then you think your first year of fellowship is a very steep learning curve. But then your first year after training in practice, that's a very steep learning curve. And then when I joined private practice, there was another steep learning curve because now I was seeing so many more patients than I did in academics, where in addition to seeing patients, I was doing all this other type of work. So that's one big difference, but I do really enjoy it.
Yeah, so private practice, it's just patient care. Is that right? Mostly outpatient care, or are you going to the hospital some days and then back to your clinic?
So, you know, I'm so happy you asked me that question, because that's what, when I was in training, that's all I thought private practice was too. I just thought it was, oh, all you see is patients all day long, but that is not the case at all. Although that's a huge part of it, my day-to-day is quite varied. So for example, today I started off my day seeing inpatients, and then I did dialysis rounds, and now I'm doing a podcast about nephrology as a career and nephrology education. And so that's really fun. And our group is a little bit different because we're all also part-time Johns Hopkins faculty. So work with the fellows there. We precept their clinic. One of the partners, one of my colleagues, he does a talk on business education for the fellows. We also do didactics on peritoneal dialysis. And the Hopkins fellows, they, you know, when I was in fellowship, we had limited exposure to peritoneal dialysis, but the Hopkins fellows, they come to us because they also have limited exposure at Hopkins, whereas in our practice we have a lot more clinical numbers and more patients, and they get to see more PD. So it is really it depends on the day. It depends on the day what I'll be doing that day, and I like that. And it was a surprise to me, because I didn't think it would be like that.
So you can work primarily in private practice, but still have kind of an adjunct professorship position or still be involved in clinical education?
Oh, yes, I think so, definitely. And even, when I was in fellowship, I know one of our, somebody went into industry, but then came back to Brigham, one day a week, and worked at the Brigham at Mass General. I know there's a whole group of nephrologists who are in private practice, but they are still very much a part of the Mass General nephrology division. So, you know, I think like many things in medicine, you do what you want to do. And there is somewhere where you can make it fit, where, you know, if you're in nephrology, but you want to do this type of work, that exists somewhere, or you can make it happen. And I think, you know, the practice that I'm a part of now is just an example of that.
That's really great to hear. So about private practice, what kind of skill set do you think people need to know, maybe that you wouldn't have had in academia? Like, do you need to know a bit more about the business side of medicine and relative value units or any of that? Or can you just learn all of that as you go along?
I am learning it as I go along. So I did not know I don't know anything about the business aspect of being in a practice when I first started. And and slowly, just being in a private practice, you inevitably will have to learn these things. But it's not a chore. It's not something that's stressful. It's important to pick an environment where you're happy, and that, you know, for me, I'm happy, and I really just really respect and admire the colleagues that I work with, and they've taught me so much about the business of medicine, about the business of nephrology. So, you know, you have to work with good people who won't take advantage of you. I have heard a lot of bad stories too from my own fellows when I was at Tulane, who then went out into practice, and some of them had bad experiences where they felt, you know, if they had known more about the business of medicine, about joining a practice, maybe it wouldn't have turned out the way it did.
Yeah, like knowing a bit about contract negotiation and things beforehand.
Yeah, things like that.
But it doesn't sound overwhelming. It sounds like things you can learn on the job as well, so...
Yes, I definitely agree to that. And but I think that more fellowship programs are beginning to understand what graduating fellows need, because some of their fellows will go into private practice and they need some exposure to it. And even not just the business, but no matter where you go, you have to understand billing and billing codes and things like that.
Sure.
So, you know, and that's why I think more programs are doing, you know, the lectureship series on things like that.
Yeah, that's really smart. So thinking more about the different paths you can take in academia or private practice, is it one or the other? Is it possible to switch back and forth once you've chosen one?
I think it is. I think some people might disagree, but I think it is. And I've also known people who have done that. At Tulane, there was a cardiologist there in the academic setting, doing research, seeing patients, teaching fellows. And he was in private practice for many years. And also in nephrology, there are examples of people who have been in private practice for many years and then re-enter academics. So I think it's possible, and I think it's been done. And I think everyone has a unique path. There's no set way on how to do anything. You know, if you want to be in research, there's no set way. Sure, the majority, you know, lots of people will do the, you know, KO8 and then R01, you know, that pathway, but there are other pathways, and I think it's okay.
That's great to hear. Let's talk, if we can, a little bit about nephrology education in general. One thing we try to do with this podcast is highlight ways that we can make nephrology more accessible, more engaging to medical students and residents. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about the curriculum you are working on as a clinical educator, or what you think we can do to kind of improve the state of this education.
Yeah, so that's something that I think a lot of us in the field have been thinking about. And, you know, I listened to your previous podcast, and I agree with the fellows you were talking to before, who emphasized trying to reach out to medical students and residents, and trying to show them that the physiology in nephrology is not something to be afraid of, but something that, you know, can be very interesting and understandable. And I do agree with that. I think, and that's why I got involved in medical student education, because I didn't want medical students to be afraid of nephrology and from a very early point say, this is impossible, it's absolutely not for me, and just remove it from their consideration altogether. I don't expect medical students to completely get everything. And I think that's something else that we have to convey to them, is that it is challenging, and that's part of the excitement of it. And it's not something they have to completely understand as a second year or first year medical student.
I think that's a great answer. One thing I want to ask as well is, where do you think the bulk of the understanding of renal physiology comes in? Do you think people pick that up more so in late residency, or is that even once you've chosen nephrology as a specialty, that there's really still a steep learning curve those first few years there?
I think it never ends. I feel like I'm still learning every day. You know, one of the most enjoyable and interesting part about being a nephrologist is, you know, is the discussions that I still have with my colleagues about the really challenging cases.
I love that.
And the job of a nephrologist is clinically challenging, but that's also what makes it interesting and exciting.
I think it's great, because you're right. What we hear a lot is that it does seem intimidating somehow to medical students and residents, but I'm hoping that, you know, by highlighting these different paths that people who are practicing it have taken, and that they still are learning too, I think really makes it that much more accessible. And also because we have such wonderful people in nephrology, right?
Yeah.
I guess just to end, is there any advice that you would give a medical student or internal medicine resident considering nephrology?
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of things that I do day to day that I really enjoy in my career, in my practice, that a lot of these things I didn't foresee when I chose nephrology. You know, one example that I really want to emphasize is I really did not look forward to doing dialysis. I didn't think like doing dialysis rounds, that wasn't a reason why I chose nephrology. You know, I knew it was a part of the practice, and acute dialysis, you know, was emergent and people needed it. But doing like outpatient dialysis rounds, that wasn't really a reason why I chose, that was not a reason why I chose nephrology. But I have to say that's one of the parts of my practice some days I really enjoy. And I was thinking about it when I was doing dialysis rounds today. You know, a lot of my patients there, I see them more, or they see me more than they see any other provider. And I know them clinically, like with their medical conditions, but I also know them personally. And it's really taking the longitudinal relationship of a patient and doctor to the next level. And I think not only that, but, you know, when I'm in dialysis rounds, I know all my dialysis nurses, I know all the technicians, I know the support staff there, and they know me. And in some ways, it's very much of a family, like a dialysis family. And when I was doing rounds today, I was thinking about that, and I wanted to make a note to talk about that in this podcast, because I think sometimes people, like especially trainees, they think, oh, I don't want to do nephrology because I don't want to deal with all these dialysis patients. I was surprised by that in my practice, and it's something that I wasn't expecting.
That's really special. I'm glad you brought that up. I think people will be really glad to hear this, and will really learn a lot from this episode.
Oh, I hope so.
Thank you so much, Belinda, for taking the time to do this today.
It was my pleasure.
If you're a medical student or a resident considering nephrology and you have a question about working in the field or if you'd like to come on the podcast and talk about your career as a nephrologist, please get in touch. You can email us at nkfpodcast@kidney.org.